Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and with me tonight is my cohort, Sabina. Oh, wait, I mean co-host. Ha, ha, ha.
Hello, Pam. How are you?
I'm good. Don't get electrocuted while we're doing this interview, okay?
Yeah, I'll try. I don't know.
Well, tonight we welcome actor Zach Sale, who, by the way, ladies, is really good to look at. So I would suggest looking at that picture, huh, Zippina?
Yep. Very much so.
He's been on The Game, Drop Dead Diva, Vampire Diaries, and more. And most recently, he's in Tyler Perry's new movie called Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. Welcome, Zach.
What's up, ladies? Thank you.
You're welcome. How are you doing?
I am doing much better now that you said such nice things about my picture. Thank you.
I couldn't help myself, you know. And Sabina is in Atlanta, Georgia, and I told her not to get electrocuted because they're having a bad storm out there right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now most, I get a lot of family over there in Georgia, so I do know about the storm.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah.
Oh,
what part?
Ringgold, Georgia, up by Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then that's where I used to live, and I would drive 110 miles to Atlanta to do any auditions that would come up. So that would be a typical week. I'd probably do easily probably about 600 to 700 miles a week back and forth to Atlanta just for auditions. So,
oh, my gosh.
Cool. Yeah. A lot of driving there.
Yeah, it was. I got to tell you, ladies, the crazy thing, though, when I moved out to L.A. Over a year ago, I looked at my schedule and I was like, oh, wow, I only have 7.5 miles to make it to this meeting. I can leave 30 minutes before time to get there. That's totally not true in L.A. In Georgia, you can time out how long it might take for a drive to get there, but 7.5 miles in L.A., you need at least an hour and a half left.
With traffic and everything, right?
Yeah, and God forbid if it rains. Because it rains all the time in Georgia, but it doesn't rain here. So when it rains here in L.A., no one knows what they're doing.
Well, I live in Chicago, so I have snow, and I have to laugh at my other co-host, Dawn. She lives in North Carolina, and if they get half an inch of snow, they're closing the streets down. And here, you know, we're still trudging through to go to work and school and everything with 2 feet of snow.
I know. You know, where I was in Ringgold, if like literally flurries of snow would come down to the ground, they'd cancel school for the entire town. And then, like, I'm from Florida. Like, when we had big tornadoes come up in 2011 that just, like, tore apart, you know, Alabama and Georgia, it was only, like, a couple streets away from my house that it really smashed hard. You know, I'm sitting there, and I'm from Florida, so seeing hurricanes and seeing hurricane storms is no big deal to me. Apparently, I didn't even notice the funnel cloud that I was staring at from Walmart. Everyone else was walking out with candles, and they were all. And I was like, "What are you doing? This is supposed to be a hurricane party." I'm getting the munchies and stuff. What's up?
That's so funny. Well, when I was going through researching about you, I read that you did character voices when you read books when you were younger. Do you still do any character voices?
Just a little bit here and there, depending on how Courtney the guy might be. Or my favorite was when I used to live in Georgia, was always the real southern accent, you know, just bringing out a little bit. Talk to them and tell them how much, you know, I appreciate you and I thank you very much for listening to what I had to say. And I hope you all give me a call back shortly. But yeah, character voices. I'm always testing my accents whenever I can. I love doing it through drive-thrus is my favorite.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, that's got to be great.
So it's fun when you get up and you just do one, like, off, you're just like, excuse me, I'd like to go ahead and order a Big Mac, but if you could put no pickles on there for me. And then you get up to the front and you're just like, hey, did you get my order? And messes them up.
And they probably think they have the wrong customer once you get up there and do that. Oh, my gosh. What other accents do you do?
Let's see. Hey, but you might ask yourself, how many lucky Irishmen sit there and walk around St. Paddy's Day without being drunk, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
James Bond, the old James Bond one. Relax, Money Penny. My name's Pussy Galore. I must be dreaming. You know, just, whatever. I don't know, whatever.
And you taught yourself how to do these?
I was the kid who would sit there and had no friends that would teach himself accents to have imaginary friends.
Oh my gosh.
It turned out, which is the main reason why I became an actor, so this way I could talk to myself out loud and no one thinks I'm crazy.
Right. And get paid for it, too.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you've been in a few of my favorite shows, like Burn Notice and Drop Dead Diva, and I know a lot of people watch Vampire Diaries. Which role to date has been your favorite?
Absolute favorite is Burn Notice. I'm talking from the audition room until the last day of shooting. It was just awesome. It was one of the first times I ever walked in, I recognized the director, who was Jonathan Frakes of that episode. And
he's good.
Okay, you know who he is. All right.
Yeah.
I was the kid who always had to record on, you know, back when they had VHS, Star Trek The Next Generation for my dad.
Yeah.
So I knew who number one was. When I walked into that room, I was like, my heart started beating. And yeah, I'm still pretty fresh in my acting career. It was only about 14 months into acting, and I had gone into this audition. And after I did it, he puts his arms up in the air, and he goes, "You nailed it, kid." He goes, "I don't know if we need to see anybody else." And I'm thinking, either he's like a really nice guy who says this to everybody, or he really means what he's saying. And lo and behold, I ended up booking it just like 3 hours later. They gave me a call. So
That's so cool.
Oh, it was awesome. And the first day on set, I drove in with Jonathan, and we got to do some talking back and forth and just BS back and forth. And I get on set, and the first thing they tell me is, like, "All right, you're going to be driving this today." And they point at the Ferrari. And I'm like, they go, "Can you drive one of these?" I said, "Absolutely." I didn't tell them the not, which was supposed to come after the absolutely, but I just left it at absolutely. And then I get into the Ferrari, and my stunt guy sitting next to me, and he goes, "All right, put it in reverse." And I didn't know how to. And he goes, "You've never driven one, have you?"
Yeah.
I go, "No." And he goes, "That's okay. He goes, "It's the same question I ask everyone who gets in the car. That's how I know if they're lying to me or not. You passed. Let's go ahead and test drive it." So that was by far the best shoot that I've done.
You know, and it's funny because you hear this kind of story all the time for a person, an actor, to get a certain role. A lot of times they'll kind of mislead on what they can and cannot do. So this doesn't surprise me.
It's not kind of, it's definitely. We always
know
where we're after. Yeah. Just get me past the audition room and get me on set. Then you can yell at me and tell me what I don't know how to do.
Right. And did you do a lot of fanboy stuff with Jonathan, or did you compose yourself?
I did. No, I composed myself. I was lucky because there was a PA on set, Greg, who came up to me and goes, "Listen, don't say too much about the Star Trek stuff to Jonathan. We had somebody on set earlier in the week, and he just would not leave him alone for 2 or 3 hours. So we were no longer talking about Star Trek to Jonathan." I said, "Oh, no, I won't do that, I promise." Bruce Campbell, I did talk about Evil Dead with him just because I had to.
I love him.
He was actually great.
Tomorrow, Sabina and I are actually going to interview Seth Peterson.
Yes. No. All right. Great.
And I've spoken to him before, and I just absolutely adore him. And there was such a Twitter uproar when they killed him off of Burn Notice.
Really?
Yeah.
All the Twitter uproar. I would imagine there would be a Twitter uproar when they killed him off. I mean, Seth is great.
Yeah. Everybody loved Nate, you know? I mean, come on.
Whatever.
The brother that was always getting in trouble, you know, but, you know, not on purpose.
Well, no, but that's the relative that everybody has in their family. We all have one of those. He's just always getting in trouble, and you just don't talk about it.
Right.
How's your brother doing? Oh, he's doing good. He's doing real good. He's getting 3 hours in the car. He's doing fine.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't run him over.
I'm glad I didn't run anybody over, because when I was actually driving that car. I had a stunt woman like following behind me at 40 miles an hour. I had the stunt director with sitting on a crotch rocket with a guy mounted to the back with a camera on the ass of this motorcycle following in front of me and just telling me to go around as fast as I can cut around him. So I was terrified I was going to hit somebody. So I'm very glad I did not.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, Zach, who has been your favorite actor to work with so far?
Favorite actor to work with so far? I got to say, it would probably be Candice Koch, who, oddly enough, is from The Marriage Counselor. And she was just, when I came on set and I first met her, now I was originally in Atlanta at the time, so I had never been out to L.A. She was from L.A. So there's always that different, that kind of feeling that new actors have when they run into, like, L.A. actors. We, for some reason, people think L.A. actors are elite. We were not. But, and she was just so cool. She was cool to talk to. She didn't talk to anybody down. She didn't talk down to anybody. She was always on the same level. And she was just so good at what she did. I mean, she could pop out of, like, this emotional cry, eyes swollen, you know, runny nose scene, and then pop right into, hi, let's get some craft services.
No.
That's fantastic.
I'm always up for craft services. That's why I'm an actor.
Yeah.
It was so young in my career when I had done it. It was just fun to talk to her and kind of, like, she kind of gave me some advice and some pointers because I was working on getting out to LA at that time. And, she was just a lot of fun. So Candice Koch would be my favorite co-star thus far.
Cool. Well, I've noticed that you've taken classes in improv as well. We recently interviewed Mark Adam Smith, who's the artistic director of Gotham City Improv in New York City. Mm. And he was a lot of fun. What has helped you the most with doing those improv classes?
The cold reads, when you walk into an audition room and they've given you absolutely nothing. I just had one the other day that I had to do. And you kind of have, you've got a couple pages of a script. You don't know where the script's going to at all. It's a surprise to you until the very end. And using the improv, I can take a script and I can quickly look over it for a minute and then kind of throw in my own stuff. So that really helped me taking with the improv. And also just interviews. I mean, talking to, you know, people like you guys and just, you know, going in and speaking with agents and everything. And also, I mean, improv is more than just, you know, making me be able to work out a funny sketch really quick. It also keeps me quick on my toes and able to communicate with everybody.
Yeah, no matter what kind of questions we pop at you, right?
Absolutely. Give me any one. I swear to you, I'll give you an answer.
Well, I have one that's kind of interesting. I really am curious, what actor has inspired you in your career so far?
What actor has inspired me in my career? You know what? I have to say, there's an actor in Atlanta. His name is Jim Sutton. And Jim Sutton, we had worked on the award-winning short that I did called The Tortured, which we did, like, I don't know, 2.5 years, 3 years ago now, and it was one of the first lead roles that I had, very significant, you know, a lot of crying, emotional anger, a lot of different character ranges, and he came to me at the end of that shoot, and he goes, and he sits me down and says, listen, Zach, I got to tell you something. I go, what is it? And he goes, you are amazing. I go, oh, you're amazing, too. He goes, no, shut up, let me tell you what you are. I don't want to hear that I'm amazing because I'm telling you you're amazing. I'm just, well, he goes, I want to tell you something. He says, you just have this spark that happens to you when the actor yells, when the director yells action. You're in the zone, you're in the mode, and what you do with a character is you make it your own. It's not you anymore, it's somebody else, because you really need to focus on that. He said, I do this job because it's fun to go on set, pretend to be somebody else, and have a blast with the crew. He goes, you can do this professionally. And he said that to me, like I said, it was like 6 months. At that point, it's probably 6 months into my career. And I really took that to heart. And I don't take compliments well. I'm not one who likes a lot of praise, so I don't mind it. I followed it, and I totally stayed true to it. And I got training, and I realized that you can't just do it. You know, you can't just say I'm a natural and that's it. And I started attending schools and classes, and I really took it to heart. So Jim Sutton was definitely an actor who inspired me to be what I am right now.
You know, and I can see what he's saying about that, because I watched your acting reel on IMDb. There was some really pretty intense movies and scenes in there, and there was one scene that really got to me, and I'm not sure which movie it was, but you were on the ground and some guy was telling you to put the gun down and you said money means nothing, and I think you blew yourself up.
Hey, that was actually the whole scene that I was talking about. That was from the
Really?
Movie. Yes, it was. And that was, I think it was after that scene, that's when Jim actually came. And we had shot together about 7 days. And he sat down with me after the next morning. And that's when he gave me that speech. So thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Because it was, I mean, that scene was, you know, maybe what, a minute and a half or something. But it was so intense. And that just proved to me, you know, that you're so great at what you do to affect somebody in such little time like that.
I'm blushing. Mm-hmm. I seriously am blushing. Thank you.
Yeah. I got to say, yeah. I too watched, and I too got moved.
Right?
Oh, you know, thank you so much. And it was, honestly, it was, I mean, that was the scene that I like doing those types of scenes, really, because I can't, it's something that people continue to talk about once you're done, you know?
Right.
And, when I had done the scene, the director, he turned to me because we had watched the, they're called dailies. You know, if you watch anything that was shot that day, they're called dailies.
Mm-hmm.
You watch them anyway. And we're going through the dailies, and he turned to me, dude, and he goes, look at my arm. You know, he goes, I have goosebumps, man. He goes, that was exactly the way I saw that scene in my head. You did. That was great. You know,
wow.
That was like, and I was, you know, this is again, back early in my career, that was shot what I called guerrilla filmmaking. We started shooting in Atlanta on a sunny, crisp, like 75-degree weather day. And within 6 days, an ice storm came in, trapped me in Thomaston, Georgia for 5 days without a cell phone, without any communication to the outside world. I was going insane. And
I could imagine.
But I don't know. It made the film look great because it looked like we shot it over like a few months. But we actually shot it over 6 days. And it was very cold. It was 14-hour shoot days. There was, you know, I think our pay, I mean, everybody was like sharing like an $8 pizza. That was our pay. And it was, but it was just so much fun. Like, I literally could be on set like that for 16 hours, make dirt, and be sore and tired as heck when I finish the day. But I'm so happy. Like, I feel so accomplished. So this is, I love doing this stuff.
Well, with that movie and, like, Cardboard Warfare 2 and Killzone Extraction, whatever, those are a lot of, like, military-type things, movies. How do you do your research for roles like that?
Let's see. I do a lot of when I'm driving, I'll go ahead and I'll listen to movies that have already been filmed, you know, Army movies that have already been filmed that, you know, have, you know, gotten good acclaim, or like Platoon or something like that, when I'm really trying to get into a soldier, like a twist, you know, depending on how twisted the character is and how emotionally messed up he is in his head.
Right.
And of course on set we had a guy, Richard Tavernero was on there, and he was kind of our military coordinator, telling us, you know, the way to hold a gun properly. And cause everything, you want everything to look real. And the more, you know, going into a scene and going into a film, I mean, the more prepared you are, the more tricks you have in your bag, just the more comfortable as an actor you are. So, for me, anyways, going into a scene, I can literally lose everything that's around me because I am that character at the time. So taking everything in from, you know, the way you hold a gun, the way you run, the way you hit somebody, then take somebody down. It's just there's so many different intricate ways that the military does their things. I have so much respect for these guys, and I'm thankful that I can even portray them on screen. They're just amazing.
Yeah. Maybe I should tell my son to get into that type of business to show people how to use weapons and that. He was in the Marines. He's been back almost a year now. So,
I'm telling you, that is, what people understand, if you want to do it, and this is what I always say on my vlogs, on my Facebook fan page and whatever. They're called In an Actor's Life, and I've documented every single moment of my start on this acting career. And the one thing you got to do is you just got to do it. And he most definitely could do something like that because they're always looking for consultants, to military consultants. And he's not, you know, if he doesn't start necessarily on like a $100 million budget film, well, not many people do. You know what I mean? But he can definitely put it out there and start consulting on these small indie budgets. You know what I mean?
Well, I was just going to say there's a million and one indie movies, you know, that they need tons of people for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%.
And he also he's also a vehicle specialist. He learned how to drive all the different vehicles in the Marines, so that would be good too.
That would be cool, and it's fun because I mean you get to do everything that you learn, the knowledge that you learn in the Army, and you don't have to really hurt anybody with it anymore. Now,
you can
show people how to portray it correctly, and it's something cool.
Well, I'll mention it to him. Thanks for letting me know. And I've never even thought about it until we started talking about this. How are you with your emotions when you're doing all these intense scenes? Are you good at leaving it on the set when you leave for the day?
Yes. I can say that I haven't had a problem with being an emotional, because really when you're doing film and television, the difference from like doing theater. In theater, you know, I'm putting on this 2-hour production for everybody. And I'm doing it, you know, maybe twice a day. And so my emotions like are always like in the character state of mind. But at least with film and television, I don't have that so much. I have, you know, the scene's shot, 3 to 6 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, and then it's cut, and you're yourself again talking to other people. So I don't have a problem leaving it on set, not at all.
That's good. That's good, because I know some people, you know, it's hard for them, and then they feel it, and it changes their lives, you know, their everyday lives.
Yeah, especially some of the characters that I keep getting cast in, it would be bad if I brought home. Even if I don't own a gun, my God.
that is fantastic. What medium do you prefer? Do you like best, movies or television or theater? Do you like them all in just different ways?
Let's see. I'll be honest with you. Theater, I really have never done a full-length theater thing since high school. I prefer film and television most definitely. I really like the way the internet is able to reach people, though. I kind of started my stuff on YouTube. Like you had mentioned, Cardboard Warfare 2, Killzone Extraction, Max Payne Bloodbath. I did that. That was a short. We reached like 1.5 million people in 3 days.
Wow.
And I was actually in Chattanooga just a couple weeks ago, because I was in Atlanta Film and Comfort. So I was in Chattanooga visiting my folks, and this kid looks up at me in the gas station and kind of does this double take, and then he turns back and he goes, are you Max Payne? And I said, yes, I am. Nice to meet you. What's your, you know, and it was just, and I love it when I see, like, you know, when I light up these kids' eyes and stuff. And the stuff I've done on YouTube has given me that fan base of, like, you know, 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like those video games that are so popular these days. Call of Duty, you know, Black Ops and that.
Yeah.
Those are extremely popular, and I've interviewed a couple of different people from those games, and they get such a kick out of it, too, when the teenagers go, oh, my God, you're Sergeant Woods, or you're, you know, whatever, and they just love it. And walking into it, they never knew how huge that was going to be.
Yeah, no, and you never do. You never really know because you can step in any project, and you always have the highest hopes for it, but you never know where
right.
it's going to go. When it does explode or when it does, like, get a nice, good fan following, it's really rewarding. And for me, you know, I have kids, and so it's, like, it's great to you know, the video game stuff. I'm actually shooting another video game promotion. It's going to be in the middle of April, another big action flick, like Killzone and Max Payne. And my kids already know what the video game is. They were telling me all about it, and I don't even. Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm getting my research from them.
Yeah. You definitely ask any 12-year-old, and they're going to know.
that's the perk of doing a video game. Your research, you just go right to the kids. Done.
Right. And that's how I learned how to use my computer and the internet and everything else, by asking my kids when they were in grade school.
There you go. Mine still show me like things that I didn't even realize. I'm like, oh, my phone could do this?
Yeah, right?
Oh, I know why it was $600. Okay.
Yeah. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, I watched you in Josh Groban's video, Hidden Away. Did you know who he was before you got the job, and how did you get that?
Yes. The Groves, as I like to call them. I did know of him because of course, of the song, You Raise Me Up So I Can Stand the Mountain. Just in case anybody
says,
I don't have a music career yet, so I'm taking everything. and so when they called me up, you know what's crazy? Is it, they had, and this is another thing I like to say to actors and anybody who's trying something. I had auditioned for this casting company 2 weeks before for a different music video for a different music group, and I didn't get the role. Well, 11:30 on Saturday night, they called me up and they said, "Hey, you're playing principal in a Josh Groban music video. You're going to be in Nashville 11:30." So, I mean, it was just, so I knew who Josh Groban was, of course, and I was totally stoked. I had no idea about the video until they told me I already had it, and he was just, he was awesome. I mean, he's, I don't know if you guys have ever interviewed him or met him, or he's just, and in person, he's like a funny, funny dude. He's got this voice of like this, you know, like opera singer, but yet he like,
yeah.
But he talks just like a regular, like, funny douchebag. He's just like, oh. And we had taken a picture together, and I said, "Let's take a picture real quick." So we took a picture, and I looked like I was about 2 feet taller than him, and he's like, "Oh, we're not doing this. No way." He stood on a chair, and we took another picture together.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's really funny, though. Really, really great guy.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has an awesome voice. I absolutely love his music.
Oh, great. We had a like personal concert for like 3 hours right there.
Oh, yeah, and think of the money people paid to go see him in concert.
That's what I'm saying. I had all the perks.
Yeah.
I mean, I had craft services. I had pay. I had a concert. I was good.
You know, Zach, I think I finally figured out you did not become an actor for the love of acting. You became an actor for the love of craft service.
Yeah, you're darn tootin', because when I went on my first like set, and I couldn't believe how many packs of gum there were.
Really?
And I was like, this is a job I must do forever.
Yeah.
There's so much gum. Yeah. It was. Josh Groban, answer your question. I didn't know who he was, but I did not know him personally. Now that I do, awesome guy.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. How different was it being in a video versus like a TV show or a movie?
Being in a video, wow, it's a bunch of miming. You know, you don't have, there's no real script. There's no, it's kind of like, all right, listen, you're walking out of this building and you're late for a meeting. You're looking at your watch. You've got to call your, it's just all like, yeah, there's no script or anything. So you're pretty much, the director will shout out to you sometimes while you're in the middle of doing the scene. You know what you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pick up your phone now. You're talking to him. He's telling you he can't make it. Now your deal isn't going through. You're upset. All right, now what are you going to do? You got to tell him you got to go somewhere else. And, you know, it's a lot different. It's more, it's just different.
Well, yeah, because you didn't speak in it at all. You know, you just were walking down the street in your nice little suit, and then you went in a bar. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
That was a fun one, though, because my niece called me up, and she said, oh, she goes, Uncle Zach, you're on VH1.
Oh.
Like, no way, really? And she's like, yeah, and I was like, and there it was, on VH1. Very cool.
Ah, oh, that was sweet.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I'm curious, I was looking at your website, and I see, you know, your film, television, web series, commercials, industrials. Can you kind of elaborate on what that is and what that entails?
Yeah. Let's see. An industrial would be, let's say you're going to go get a job at Sam's Club or Walmart, and they have those videos that they make you watch and sit through. That could be considered an industrial. So the host of that would be, I hosted a couple of those. I did a couple of those for Vertifor and a few big corporations as far as, you know, training their employees and teaching them different things. That's like what an industrial is. It's like a training video.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
We learn something new every day, huh?
Exactly.
Well, your most recent movie is in Tyler Perry's movie, of course, Temptation. And I tell you, watch the trailer of that. And, of course, Tyler Perry never lets you down. So can you elaborate on your character at all?
My character is Brad, and my wife and I are having issues with our marriage, and we seek out help from the marriage counselor. And so we go into her, and we start just discussing our problems that we're having with one another, and it kind of touches the marriage counselor in a specific way, and boom, it kind of just goes from there. So, you know, that's as much as I can elaborate, but that's
okay. Just like, as always, go see the movie, right?
Yeah, go see the movie. I believe I open up the film, so.
Oh, cool. That's great.
Yeah. It was so much fun. It was, like, really intimidating because at first, because, you know, Tyler Perry is just Tyler Perry, you know.
Of course, yeah.
In Atlanta, he's even bigger as Tyler Perry. And so when I got on set, I turn around and I almost ran into him. And the guy's like the size of a tree.
Oh,
I turn around, he's got these hands that look like, you know, baskets of bananas. And he's just like, hey, how you doing?
Oh, my God.
His shoulder. And he says, you ready to do this? I'm looking to get this one done pretty quick. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. Sure. And I remember I turned to my wife, the woman who's playing my wife, Lisa, and her name's Andrea Moore. And I turned to Andrea and I say, that guy looked like Tyler Perry, didn't he? And I was like, oh, really? No way. I was kidding, of course. But it was, yeah.
Did you expect
was,
him to look like Madea or what?
I was wondering where the Moomoo was. I was putting pants in a shirt. This isn't right.
Did you get to work with Brandy or Vanessa Williams or any of them too?
No, I didn't work with Vanessa Williams and Brandy. I didn't work with on Tyler Perry, but I did work with. I have worked with Brandy a couple times in the game. And she's a lot of fun. She really gets into her character. And one of the episodes, I had to fire her, and this was last season. And I fired her, and I said, you know, you always think everybody's talking about your booty. You just need to go ahead and get out. You're done. And she splashes all these drinks from the bar all over all the customers, me, and then she walks out. Well, for some reason, production thought it was necessary to shoot this scene 16 times. Yeah, so every time they had to refill the glasses with juice or whatever fluid they were using, and then she would go and just splash it all over everybody again and then walk out. And she was so sweet about it, though, because that's about six times. She was like, I am so sorry, guys. She goes, I don't know what else I can do. She's like, what else can I do different? He's like, no, you're doing everything great. I just want to see it again.
Yeah.
So, I was wearing my own pants. So I was getting a little upset with that.
You probably had liquid coming out of every orifice possible.
I mean, it was everywhere. And the last thing I actually kept was the one where she has like juice or something on her fingers, and she flicks it into my face and says, I was frustrated. Everybody was frustrated at that point. That it was very, very much seen on screen. So it actually worked out. The director got what he wanted.
Okay. I can imagine it was rather sticky trying to walk around too after that many times.
Everything was like shh, 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 shh.
Yeah.
We knew where everyone was because no one could move.
Now I'm going to have to listen for that sound in the movie.
I'm going to go do that. I forget which episode it was, but it's on the game. So somewhere on, I think it's on Netflix or something.
Yeah. A blooper reel.
So I'm actually wondering, who have you not worked with yet, but you would love to work with? Just name one person that comes to your head.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And one of the reasons, I mean, he's just, Tom Cruise to me is, you know, when he came out originally, he was, you know, he was just Tom Cruise the actor. And then he kind of turned into Tom Cruise the producer, Tom Cruise the franchise owner. I mean, he's like Tom Cruise the empire.
Right.
And I just,
exactly.
I mean, if I could sit down and talk with him, especially to a guy who we sort of fall in the same, like if he was my age now, and this was back in the 80s, we would both be in competition. So I would love to sit down and just talk with him about how he's done it and how he's gotten through it. Cause a lot of people ask me that same question now, and I'd love to ask somebody who's got, like, over 20 years in the business. And Tom Cruise is the guy I work with.
Yeah,
that would be a good person to pick his brain.
He's doing it right, you know. There isn't a movie he does now that doesn't have his name in more than just starring. You know, it's starring Tom Cruise, and it's, like, executive producer, Tom Cruise, you know.
Yeah,
and everything.
That's where
I want to be. As eventually, you know, I mean, I want to move into, you know, production, and I want to move into, you know, other things. I started writing now recently. I want to do, you know, acting is kind of like my gateway into it all.
Well, that's good, because that brings me to Sabina had made some fun questions for interviews some time back, And one of the questions I will give you right now, if there was a movie made of your life, what would it be about and who would play you?
It would be about, goodness gracious, it would be about me, and it would, what was the question? Well, what would it be about and who would play me?
Yes.
I would play me. And
you would
then,
play you?
No. If I could really get someone to play me, it would be, I would, you know, depending on when it was shot, I would like Tom Cruise to play me, absolutely. Although, I think Ryan Gosling is an awesome actor.
And
it's really great to see, like, his transformation from, you know, when he was doing, Remember the Titans, to, you know, a movie like Drive.
Right.
Gangster Squad. And, yeah, I would like, I think he would definitely put his all into playing me. So he would definitely play me. And it would just be about a regular guy who is, you know, now been on television and movies, and he's still just a regular guy. You know, I'm a guy who likes to wear T-shirt and jeans. When I have to go to a red carpet event, I, like, sigh, and I don't know how to dress myself, so I have to ask myself.
Oh.
And yeah, it would be about that, and then going from nothing to something, and you know, and being able to talk to you guys. Like, I mean, you guys are interested in talking to me now, and 4 years ago, no one even knew who I was.
Ah, but if you would have contacted me, I still would have talked to you then.
Would you really have?
I would.
I'm gonna find you on Facebook. Find you immediately.
I definitely would. I have another show where I play indie music, you know, the musicians that are not with the label. I love that they have so much great music out there and so many great bands and singers, and they need all the support and exposure that they can get. So I've now started another show where I play their music and I interview them. So that would be kind of like the same thing as an actor just starting out.
Wow, you're awesome. I love you. Yeah,
thank you.
And we need it as artists. First of all, there's so many of us out there.
Right.
And it's like I tell I've got a bunch of kids, like I said, ask me questions a lot. And it's, you know, how do you get into acting and this stuff, and how do you put up with the rejection? And this is, I mean, literally as an actor and as an artist trying to do anything for anybody to like it, it's 98% rejection. Maybe 98.5% rejection.
Yeah.
And I always like. People say, like, but you've been so successful, you've done so many great things, and you're right, I have, and I've been very blessed when I got those things, and I worked my tail off to do it. But behind every one of those one things I did that was great, there's 1,000 of them that, you know, I tried for and I didn't get.
Exactly.
And a lot of times it ends up with, you know, there's 7 people in the room, and they like Zach and they like Joe. They take a vote, 4 people go for Joe, 3 people go for Zach. Zach doesn't get the job.
Right.
So,
and you have to learn to not take that personally if this is something that you want to do for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. That's totally true. And I tell people, when you're an actor or an artist or whatever you're doing, if it involves auditions, that's the job. If your job is the audition. The perk is getting it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, if you
great
just look at it, okay, I did my job, and it's like Disney said. He goes, why worry if you tried your very best? And there's worrying is not going to help you do anything. So just do
no,
job,
it's not going to take everything back and then get, you know, somebody's going to call you and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you did your best. Let me give you the job. You know?
I wish they would do that.
Right?
I send them emails all the time, but I did my best.
Well, I gotta say, Zach, I love your attitude towards this, and you are definitely a fantastic actor. I have to give you one specific thing before I give you your last question that I have. I am a big promoter on Twitter, Facebook, you name it. I love promoting, you know, my favorite actors, musicians, and you're going to be right up there, and I'm going to have to start promoting you now as well. Just wanted to tell you that, just to tweeting you in a while.
Yes. And I'll,
yeah,
and
if you all of a sudden get these insane tweets, you know they'll be from Sabina.
Oh, Sabina, I love you. It's great.
Yeah.
And I'll retweet back and I'll favorite them and we'll reply. Yeah.
Awesome. You're fantastic.
I tell
then next time. Sorry?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, next time you're in Georgia, you've got to let me know through Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and maybe we can meet
up.
Oh,
no, he's got to stop in Chicago first. I'm the host. You're the co-host.
Well, you know, you have a point there, and I actually have a friend of mine who lives in Chicago, so I pretty much have no excuse not to visit you.
There you go.
And then the next time I'm in Georgia, I'll make sure I tweet, because I'm always in Georgia. In fact, I'll be filming I actually was just cast as the lead, as a title lead for the feature called Pimp, which is filmed in Atlanta, Georgia, at the end of June. So I'll be there for about 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh wow.
I'm really excited. This is one of the first homegrown features to be shot in Atlanta, and I got the lead. I auditioned for this thing back in December, and I had a sit down meeting with the writer and of course the director and the producers and stuff. And it was a long time coming, but they gave me a call 2 weeks ago, and they said you're going to be shooting in June, and I'm like, yeah. So
wow, hey, congratulations!
Congratulations, that's fantastic. Oh,
don't go getting stalkerish.
I know. You know me.
I'm only joking when I say this stuff, Zach. So don't worry.
Well, no. Hey, listen, I've got plenty of stalkers. So if you want to just join on, it's fine.
No, I'm the real deal. I just like to promote and help where I can, and I'm just a true blue, you know, dedicated fan. So that's who I am.
That is awesome, and I say that to when I'm talking on my blogs. Without people liking us or liking what they do, we would be nothing. And it's about especially when you're new in the business, self promotion. People have got to wonder who you are and why people get to, you know, without saying the bad word, why would a production company want to pick you over, say, you know, Joe Blow? Oh, well, that's because this guy, look, he's being tweeted by these people here, and so it's all about self promotion and getting yourself out there, and that's what I've been trying to do for the past 3 years. So yes, I will definitely take any tweet that you want to send me. Please do.
Well, I'm going to say right now to our listeners that if you want to follow Zach, which I highly recommend on Twitter, follow him at Zach Sale, and it's ZachSale.
Yes,
and what's your
Facebook?
My Facebook is Zach Sale, ZachSale, public figure. And
oh, public figure. I like that.
Well, here, maybe you can help me out, lady, because I'm still confused about this. I have a fan page and I have a personal page. Now, most of the people on my personal page, they're the same on my fan page, so I kind of accept everybody as long as I check out who they are. But it's whenever they're looking me up, they always find my personal page, so I never know how to say Zach Sale fan page for Facebook. How does that work?
Well, I'm just now going to try to pull up your Facebook page for your fan page, and let me see how it comes up.
It comes
looks like
up
Zach-Sale. No, that brings up something else, huh? Well, we'll figure it out and we'll tweet it out. I'm just going to put in Zach-Sale.
Yeah, it's all on there. If you just Google me, Zach Sale, ZachSale, you'll find my IMDb, Facebook, Twitter. It's all on there, the first one.
You know what else too, on your website, because that's where I just clicked on your website at the bottom of the home page, you have the Facebook and the Twitter little thingy, and if they click on the Facebook link, it'll bring you to your fan page.
Oh, perfect. See that? That's my wife again. She's in charge of my website, and she is so awesome. I literally could not do any of this without her. So I have to say thank you to my beautiful wife.
Yes, definitely.
It's actually
so
funny
wonderful.
Because when I did burn notice, I've got two tattoos on the top of my both arms, and whenever I do an audition, I'm usually with a long sleeve shirt on. But when I did Drop Dead Diva, they had to cover them up with makeup. But in Burn Notice, I actually got to keep them out, and both of my tattoos have something to do with my wife. So it was fun. It was fun to see them both on cable. So that was kind of neat.
You're so sweet.
My last question actually has to do with the TV shows and the guest starring roles. What current TV show would you really like to guest star on?
what current TV show would I really like to guest star on? It would have to be, wow.
Did I stump you?
No. It was like, because it's like, I've been trying to look at Breaking Bad or Walking Dead. I know Breaking Bad's in its last season, so for me to say it now would be ridiculous. But I think The Walking Dead, also because of the fact that I'm from Atlanta, I would love to just, and I'm addicted to the show. I missed the first two seasons, and I caught up with it on Netflix, and that is a show that I would definitely do. So, yes, Walking Dead producers, Lisa Mae Finn Cannon, casting over there, if you're listening, Zach Fair would like to be on The Walking Dead.
Well, you're going to have to submit this podcast to them and let them know.
it's already done. I'm doing it now for my smartphone.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Zach, for joining us tonight. We had a blast, and we definitely look forward to your future projects. And believe me, I will see you in that Tyler Perry movie because, first of all, I adore him. Now I adore you. So I've got to see those scenes you were talking about. And we would love to have you back again sometime in the future, maybe after you finish a couple of new projects.
Absolutely. I'll give you guys a call. You guys can, or I'll tweet Sabella.
There you go.
And we'll stay in contact that way. Ladies, you guys are awesome. I love this. I want to do this again for sure.
Thank you.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you.
You
have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much. You guys have a good
night. You're welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye. You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. He's so funny. Isn't he funny?
He is. He's funny, he's fun, he's sweet, and he's handsome. It's everything. He's everything, yeah.
Right? So, yes, ladies, you did hear that he is married, but that's okay. That doesn't mean you can't adore him from afar. And, you know, everybody, though, follow him on Twitter at Zach Sale and go to his Facebook page. And his website is also ZachSale.com. And if you're unsure of how to get to his Facebook page, just click on the little Facebook link thing that they have on there at the bottom of the page. I would highly suggest, too, if you're not sure of who he is, if you haven't seen him yet in many of the different movies or TV shows or anything like that, on his IMDb page, if you go down to the bottom, the first video on the left side is his acting reel, and just take a look at that. And then he says he has a YouTube, so I would say check that out. But he's a phenomenal actor. For not being in the business for, you know, a billion years, he really knows what he's doing. What do you think, Sabina?
He definitely does. From what I saw from that reel I watched, he definitely knows his stuff, and it's really excellent. And I can't wait to see him in the Tyler Perry movie and every future endeavor, for sure.
Yeah, and Pimp, where he plays the main character.
Yes, I'm getting ready to. I actually have to unfollow somebody again so I can follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, that's the bad part about it sometimes, but I've never had that issue, so I'm thankful for that. And for our listeners, follow us on Blog Talk so you never miss an episode. And if you have missed some of the our guests that we've had, you can also listen to the podcast. If you go to take2radio.com, and that's using the number 2, we have the previous podcasts on there as well as upcoming guests and many other things that you probably enjoy looking at. Sabina, you can follow her and my other co-host, which is David, at Take Two Radio Crew. Yes, they are my crew. I actually have more than those two. And they're all wonderful. I enjoy co-hosting with every single one of them. This show you can follow on Twitter at Take Two Radio. And listen to the podcast, too, on iTunes as well. I keep forgetting about that. I don't know. I'm just not used to saying it. And Sabina, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I had a lot of fun with you, and I'm very grateful that no lightning struck you while you were talking.
Yay! No electricity went off. No nothing goofy happened. This is awesome.
Right?
So I had a blast, and I look forward to tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be on a little bit later. We will be interviewing Seth Peterson from Burn Notice, from Providence, from Charmed. He's recently written a book of poetry and whatnots, you know, whatever came to his head. And he's constantly tweeting out these things, so I'm glad he made a book of it. And we look forward to talking with him tomorrow. If at any time you want to call in and speak with one of our guests, please do. The phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and you press the number 1. That way we know to pick up the call. And with that, we're going to close tonight's show. We want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight, and we will see you again tomorrow. Good night. God bless. And Sabina, stay safe.
Thank you. Good night,
You're
all.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by... One taste of Main Street Cake Shop, baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at TakeTwoRadio.com and follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast, and you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.